This is the weekend edition here in Highland Radio, radio with Greg Hughes, who apparently doesn't have a flu. Because I've been told by a listener that it's a cold I have, because if I had a flu, I wouldn't be at work. Well, there you go. So it is a cold. I'm kind of disappointed. Greg, love your show. Thank you so much. You're a fair presenter. I'm able to do my Saturday chores while listening. That's brilliant. Tell your friends and family to tune in as well. On a more serious note, it took two world wars and strong unions at the turn of the century to get a living wage for poor or middle class people. And rather than be angry at the banks, it seems to say here, they make the rich get richer and put the wealth back in their hands, says a caller. Just want to mention too that, the Friends of Letterkenny General Hospital are an amazing group and do fantastic work. Well, they're holding a Churchgate collection this weekend in County Donegal. It's on Saturday the 11th and Sunday the 12th. That's today and tomorrow. And you're asked to please support this very worthy cause. That's the Friends of Letterkenny General Hospital holding their Churchgate collection across the county this weekend. So if you have a little bit of change left in your pocket, well, then please pass it on there, and you know the money's going directly to a very good cause. Brian McDermott, good morning.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank
you. You're on this one. I've got two mics in front of you.
And a squeaky chair.
No. Poor Dahi, I think people thought he might have had a problem, but no, it's the chair.
It is, yeah, and you're suffering from the man flu, are you?
Well, I don't want to put man flu on it. Why does it have to have the man in front of it?
I think that flu, I remember doing an article last year around the man flu and what could cure it, and we went to the streets of Cork. I don't know if you remember it. We were doing it for a television piece.
Well, that wouldn't
and
cure
it's amazing
it.
Yeah. Well, it certainly would help, but it's amazing the reaction
What's
we got between female and male. You mentioned man flu to the female and they were like, oh god, just go away. They wouldn't even give us a cure, a remedy or an answer.
I know I've got a really bad flu when I just can't reach for the remote control. I know it must be very bad. Then how are you, Brian?
I am great, thank you very much.
You're busy as always. A fantastic summer season, tons of food festivals, massive crowds. People are so engaged with food now, aren't they?
It's unbelievable, and you're correct, it's been brilliant. I think we spoke earlier in the year at a number of food festivals, and you know the crowds are getting bigger, they're getting larger, and I mean that's not because of any of us in terms of individuals, it's because people have an interest, that common theme of food. We all have to eat.
Yeah, but in credit to you guys and yourself particularly, and so many others, it's how you're getting the message across and letting us normal people know that it's not just what you see in TV, that you can take it into your home and you can do it.
It is, and I think that's what's changed as well, Greg, and it's interesting that you've noticed it, because you know chefs are, you know, I always say they're white walls, they're high heat, they're 15-hour days. Mm. They tend not to get out. So to bring them out and onto that platform to actually showcase what they've done, it does a couple of things, because it lets the public engage with the chefs from their favourite restaurants to see who is actually cooking their food. So they're now within touching distance. I think food festivals is almost like Twitters in relation to celebrities. Yeah. It's brought people closer to them. And that, I think, is what has driven the crowds towards food festivals.
If you have a question for Brian, 074 91 25,000, you're back on our TV screens next week, aren't you?
You know what? I'm so excited, Greg, because for me, just to get back on there on Monday on television again on RTE, and I'm excited from a number of points of view, because, again, it allows me just a platform to carry that message about the no salt, and also it's kind of like a stamp of approval to say, do you know what, people are listening to this at national level in terms of taking salt out of their diet, tackling obesity.
But you're not a one issue candidate though. I mean, you're I presume you're going on in a broader role as well.
Yeah, we're going on it's slightly different. This is year two of the Today Show with Maura Duran and Dahi O'Shea, so it's back on now. It started a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I'm in there as an independent chef, so you're there in your own right. You know, you're fighting commercial space, RTR commercial, you know, they're no different to any other outfit. So I'm back on there in respect of that message about no salt. But more importantly, I think it's more to do with the fact that you're communicating a message. Yeah. You know, you're landing into the sitting rooms of people up and down the country. And for me to be able to have access that from rural Inishowen and rural Donegal, that wasn't on the cards a number of years ago. So, you know, actually it's quite rewarding to know that you've been taken on in season two. And I will carry that sort of whole Donegal message with me in terms of the produce.
And the no salt message is not like... it also shows that you can vary how you cook and vary the taste. It's not necessarily always about health. You have to broaden the message, don't you? Because you don't want to be sounding like you're banging on this
Correct.
One drum.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly will use the no salt message and have used it just to leverage ourselves in terms of what we can do in terms of the cooking. But there has to be something behind that. You know, I always think there's three stages to teaching people how to cook or talk about food. The first thing is that you engage them. You tell them what they're going to do, not what you're going to do, what they can achieve. There's doing it, and there's the end product, which is what sits in front of you.
Tell
that
us
they
what
can
we
enjoy.
Have here today, because I presume it smells lovely, but with my flu, I can't.
I could have brought you anything today, Greg, and I would have got away with it.
Is this a fish pie? It's
you what can't it? Smell it. No, do you know what? We're so spoiled at the minute. This is the best time of year for food. You know, this is slap bang in the middle of what I call the really exciting season, you know, the harvest as such, and particularly in Ireland, and chatting to some people even during the week, they're saying our season's not all over the place at the minute. The global warming and all of that. They slightly are, because I'm still picking strawberries and it's the second week of October. Wow. You know, these are late strawberries.
But it'll switch really quick with this weather, won't it? As soon as, you know, it gets down to the low numbers.
We
nature
lose herbs.
Has a way of catching up.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lovely day yesterday in our kitchen studio where we were picking herbs and we were shooting photographs just because we know we could lose them if that temperature drops.
So tell us what we have
here. What I've done is just a Saturday morning, you know, I think you get people dripping in and out of your houses on a Saturday morning. Go and consider the likes of a soda scone, a soda bread. It's so easy to make. Absolutely anybody out there today can make this.
Tell us how to make it briefly.
It's buttermilk and it's soda flour. So the soda flour already will have a little bit of bicarbonate of soda to rise the bread in there. I've gone with some fruit. Just, it can either be dried or fresh fruits. It can be apples. You add the buttermilk to it and you mix the two together to a very light dough. And a drop scone is the old traditional sort of granny way of doing it, where you put the flat skillet or on top of the aga, the range, whatever it is you may have. And you just literally cut them and drop them on and you allow them to slowly cook. What I love about it for a Saturday, it's almost like a lazy breakfast, because I think the fry's actually starting to die off. I genuinely do believe that
eating a fry is quite laborious.
Yeah.
It's labour intensive. Do you know what I mean?
It is, and it doesn't hold. I mean, if you know you've got people dropping in on Saturday morning, which tends to be the case, as I always call it, at HQ, you know, in our house in Burt, there's 12, you know, and that's 12 extended families
what
that
did
are
you
dropping
call these
in.
Things again?
So I call them little sort of drop soda scones.
So that bit of butter on those. Would you?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I've no butter in the recipe, but if you're not putting butter in the recipe, I've brought you in a little bit just to spread on, because they're still warm. A mug of tea with that, and they're there then for the rest of the morning. You have them for 3 or 4 hours, and you can sneak them into lunch, because they can become savoury very, very quick. And that exact recipe, you can drop in, you know, maybe some cooked ham. You can put an egg, crack an egg over the top of them, and the egg will cook within them. You can do all of that, and what you're doing then is you're going from breakfast into lunch for that lazy Saturday. So have a go with them, folks. We've put the recipes that I'm going to talk about today up on our website, which is just thenosaltchef.com.
And it's a food that children are likely to eat as well, isn't it? I mean, because, you know, a nice scone with a bit of butter on, a bit of fruit in, or whatever it is, maybe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that whole sort of children thing, you know, don't just expect them to eat it. Get them involved in the making of it. You know, we're in a different mindset on a Saturday. Most people who work that Monday to Friday, you know, obviously not us, but most people that are doing that, they're on downtime. So plan that, get the kids involved, because one thing about getting children involved is they take ownership. And if they take ownership and they're going to eat it, they'll expect you to eat it.
Could you mix any of this up and freeze it on a Friday night? Say, for instance, when you've got that little bit of energy when you come back from work, and then it's just kind of ready to go Saturday morning?
You're absolutely bang on the money with that, Greg, because you can make this as a dough any day, any night of the week. You can actually cut it out into its little circles or whatever shape you may want to keep it. You can freeze it.
Yeah.
Then you can just take it out of the freezer and you can even go straight to an oven from frozen, because they're small little bits that'll defrost and cook. So absolutely, Saturday, get that prepped up. Another little tip for that, just to advance you, is the dry mix, which is just a soda bread flour, and if you want to mix in the fruit and so on, pop that into a little sandwich bag, have it up in your dry cupboard, come down the morning, turn on your oven, put it into a bowl, drop the buttermilk in. By the time you've it mixed, made a dough, cutting onto a tray, is about 3 or 4 minutes. The oven's hot. Quite honestly, before you can put a cereal together that's full of salts and sugars and everything else, you will have beautiful soda scones in there.
And this is soda scone here, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's no, the soda scone's on your right.
Here.
So
I mean, like, I literally, that soda scone, well, that looks like a scone. Well, this is looks like a pie.
Yeah, it's a lovely little light sponge. And what I've done here is I'm really celebrating the apple, because there is a serious abundance of apples out there at the moment. And I mean, who robs orchards anymore? I don't think I used to do it when I was a kid, but I think now it's a case of you ask neighbours. We're more polite nowadays.
Yeah,
so there's so many apples out there. What to do with it? I can guarantee there's loads of people that are listening at home that have the following ingredients in their store cupboard or in their fridge this morning to have a go at a beautiful light apple sponge that has no butter in it at all.
Really?
And it is as follows. It's 3 eggs into a bowl with 100 grams of sugar, and you whisk it up with an electric whisk. Okay, you add 100 grams of self-raising flour sieved into it, a little bit of vanilla. That's the sponge made.
And where would you, is there a richness to it? Where would you get, well, achieve that? Well, I presume that's what, in my ignorance, I thought the bottle might do.
Yeah,
know?
Well, this is a very light, what we would call, you know, without getting technical, Genoese sponge. So it's a light sponge without butter. It'll not last as long. A Madeira would be where you cream the butter and the sugar together. We've taken the butter out here. We've kept it lovely and light. So the great thing about it has to be eaten between today and tomorrow, which
and
is beautiful.
You know, we may be... all have one size of a bacon dish or whatever. There's no harm in having different sides. We don't have to cook enough for the Western world in a sitting. You know,
absolutely.
You can...
And again, this will freeze well. So where I've sneaked the apples in is I've just sweated off some apple with a little bit of cinnamon and a small pinch of sugar, because when we think apple, we tend to load in loads of sugar, but there's sugar in the sponge.
Yeah, they're sweet
so,
enough,
yeah,
aren't
so
they?
Always remember that. But those four ingredients I mentioned, just think of this for a second. In your breakfast, you know, you could turn around and say, my God, that's not healthy, is it? But it is, because we have eggs in the morning. We have fruit in the morning.
Yeah.
You know, we're combining these, and the perception is that looks like a tray bake, a dessert, which it can be. It can be what you make it, but ultimately it's four very simple
ingredients.
And
you're not supposed to blend fruit, as far as I understand. You blend vegetables and don't blend fruit. Isn't that
Sugar seems to be the big sort of focus at the moment. You know, it was salt, thankfully, for my sake, for the last four or 5 years, and I've been chirping on about it. But sugar seems to what is coming now in terms of the focus. So in the fruit, the whole discussion there is around, I mean, God, it's really surprising the amount of sugar that's in our fruit juices and so on. Fruit naturally occurs, sugars happen within it, around about 7-10%. It's nothing to get too caught up on. You know, the likes of having a glass of orange juice, if you're just rising, you're having a lie-in this morning, thinking, oh my God, do I have to take this orange juice? The real reason for orange juice, believe it or not, was to ignite you, because the minute you actually drink it, you get this, ugh, where you kind of go like that. It was to wake you up in the morning.
And you do need a certain amount of certain things in your diet. You do need a certain amount. Sure, and people with low sugar levels and, you know, we'll know there are, I mean, that can have lots of implications. Not very serious ones, but generally how you feel from day to day. So what else is seasonal at the moment that we can be utilising?
Yeah, it's absolutely brilliant. I can go on for 20 minutes here, but you're coming into your root vegetables, your parsnips, your carrots, all of that. Pumpkins, the squashes, that is a great family. You know, don't outrun the pumpkin. Get it. Make fun with it. Get the kids involved, put a face on it, put it outside, take the chunks out of the centre of it, roast
them. Don't
just
throw them in the bin.
No, absolutely not. That is such a vital ingredient in terms of vitamins and flavour. Make a simple soup as follows. Roast them. How do you roast pumpkin? Cut out the chunks. Mm-hmm. You heat a tray, pop the pumpkin into a bowl, you toss it a little bit of rapeseed oil and into the hot tray. That's where you roast properly to get the char of age. Why do you want a char? The char in winter provides heat and insulation for your body. Uh-huh. Right now, Greg, it'll lift you. Cool. Nutmeg on it, it helps to just clear you out as well. And while that's roasting, you sweat off some onions, some sage from the garden, a few apples, and sneak in a little bit of apple juice. Take the pumpkin out of the oven, pop it in, top it up with water. There's no need for high salt stocks in this. You're producing stock within the vegetables that you're cooking. Cook it out for 8-10 minutes till the vegetables are soft. Pop it into a blender. You have the most gorgeous, delicious apple, pumpkin and sage soup made in about 10 or 12 minutes.
A caller says, you know, and it's a fair point, because I was going to say it when you were mentioning about your going on to RTE last week. I was listening to a study a couple of weeks ago that says, you know, salt is good for you and that you need a certain amount. But the thrust of the text is, which I'll let you address, and it's not specific to salt. Today people say salt and butter is bad. Tomorrow they say it's good for you. So how do we get the balance?
I mean, I'm totally in agreement with some of that, because I think a lot of this is commercially led. You know, we've gone from butter being bad to spreads. You know, the control in spreads, you know, weren't strong enough, in my opinion. And then all of a sudden sneaked in loads of oils into our spreads instead of butter. Yeah. Guess what's back in fashion? Butter. It's pure commercial. What I would say to you is, you know, you take control of your eating. Certainly listen to the experts. You know, and we all do what we do, and we try to do it to the best. In terms of the salt, mine's in relation to my own cardiac issues, taking it out. I find food is a lot better. It's a lot tastier. It's a lot more nutritious without being masked by loads of salt. In relation to the sugar, again, your point about salt in the diet, everyone needs salt in their diet. Yeah. We naturally get salt. There's mackerel jumping out of the foil at the moment. There's people out fishing and, you know, catching loads of them over the last few weeks and stuff. What is contained within that mackerel is natural salt.
Yeah.
Your body needs a little bit of it. If you're training a little bit harder, it needs a little bit more.
So it's not what we add to it then?
It's the issue I have is with the convenience, you know, without naming multiples. They've all come in.
You've pointed that out too, because he says, you know, a pinch of salt, not a pinch of salt, but a pinch of sugar, there's natural salt occurring. You don't have to add your salt. Yeah. So really, a lot of the stuff we're talking about adding is for flavour, and you're saying, no, it's not required for flavour, but it doesn't mean you're going to be seriously injured by the sugar and salt that's naturally occurring within the food you're eating.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Don't be clouded and confused by the amount of magazines you pick up in the weekend papers and you see celebrity diets. The word diet is awful. It's taking control. You manage your own finance. I say do the same with your food. Take control of it. Avoid, you know, the processed, avoid takeaways where possible. You know, occasional, we're all human. The bottom line is we are all human. We eat to enjoy our food. We eat to be functional. You're going to eat this weekend for the sake of trying to shift your cold. We all have a reason why we eat at different periods of the day.
It's a flu.
But ultimately, you need it. You ultimately need it to get through your day to function.
I know, I agree. How much flour is it self-raising for the sponge?
Yeah, 100 grams. We've both recipes up on our website this morning. They've just gone up.
Give us that website address, because I know people will text in as you're departing.
Yeah, brilliant. It's just thenosaltchef.com. And those both recipes are up there this morning, as is loads of others.
No, I spell chief. I get confused with chief and chef.
C-H-E-F. So it's thenosaltchef.com.
Now, you are a chief of cooking, but you're a chef. Callers loves pumpkin pie. I think they're salivating listening to you talking about it. As a food lover, it must really great to see, you know, how much insides of a pumpkin we are going to be throwing out.
Absolutely.
Over the course of the next few weeks.
You know, and just keep an eye across our social media, because we will be having ideas this week, because the pumpkins are absolutely everywhere. 12 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, that sort of period of time, we would never have thought of growing pumpkins in Ireland. You know, pumpkin is from the same family as the butternut squash.
Yes.
You know, the marrow, the courgette, all of that. It's an absolutely beautiful vegetable that is now considered a local vegetable. If someone said to you, God, that's not local. It is. I know guys who are growing pumpkins have taken over their garden this year.
Really?
And they're starting to come along. So please don't waste it. Have the fun.
About it this time of year.
Yeah, well, you get a lot. Again, our seasons are moving. You get a lot of, like, what we call forced rhubarb. And then with polytunnels and heated, there's just food appearing at the moment that you're asking yourself, my God, that's not in season, is it? But it's to do with the weather, the shifts in the pattern.
Do you get the impression a lot of people out there now are growing their own, not commercially to sell, but for their own consumption?
Absolutely. And that's where we get a lot of the questions. And I just think that's brilliant, because something so simple. I mean, 5 years ago, before I took some of the sort of cardiac stuff, I was working as a chef. And I often describe it as being on that sort of roller coaster. You didn't know where it was going to end. Mine's crashed, and it crashed very quick, and I was thrown off. So the idea of growing for me was like, my God, I don't have time for that. And if I think about it now, you know, and part of that sort of rehabilitation program that I put myself on, not that anyone sent me on, was that growing actually takes time. And if I'm going to grow carrots, it's going to take 6 months. And that slowed up my thinking.
Yeah.
And it just slowed up the pace of life in general. So grow something that you know and you see it prospering. It's no different to your children than anything else.
And once you've gone through the first process, then it goes over and over and over. So you're never really waiting.
I've had disasters with growing. You know, I've done the thing where I've had a 40 lettuce ready the one time. You don't stage it. I think growing, again, you go and you get the best advice. You speak to the people who've done it. We learn from each other, and that's how we all learn to
cook. Give us one more cooking tip then, one more nice thing to make.
Well, and my general good line cooking tip in general is go out there this morning, see what's about. There's loads of country markets happening right across the northwest this morning. Go to them. These people need you. They need you because they're getting up 5 o'clock this morning to do what I did, which was to bake to you to recover from your man flu, Greg. So get the ingredients that are out there. There's loads of apples. There's loads of
flu. It's not a man flu, it's a flu.
There's loads of pumpkins. There's loads of produce. You know, apply simple cooking techniques because at the end of the day, it's about the produce. All we tend to do is add heat. Yeah. Don't be afraid of cooking. Get onto our website, thenosaltchef.com. Get all the recipes and have a go.
You don't have to do all your shopping at these markets. If you want to go to your multiples and what have you, do that and make your whatever you want to do there. But then go call around, get your basket or your bag and pick out a few things for specific dishes. Or do all your shopping there. But the point I'm saying is they're not mutually exclusive. You can include it as part of your shopping day.
Absolutely. And you shop where your pocket and where your purse and wallet allows you to go. And plan that shop and you'll save a lot less money. Remember, you know, I'll point this out today. If you walk at a shopping centre today and you've got 3 shopping bags, if someone stole one of them, how would you feel? You would be absolutely gutted. But that is still the amount of food that we're wasting in Ireland, 33%. So that's one way to think about it. So don't waste the food. Plan your shopping. Get a little bit of what you like, where you want. It may seem a little bit more expensive at your markets this morning, but you know what? There's more nutrition. It's local. It's all of that. So yes, mix it around and spread it around. And don't get stressed about cooking. At the end of the day, it's only applying heat to really good produce.
Excellent. Now, tomorrow, when are you on?
We're on Monday, so it's 4:30.
Is this a recurring thing? Or is it just
we're back on, so we'll get our sequence of dates. We'll be on there sort of every week or every other week from now right through to April, and I'll be there. We're doing a new book at the moment as well, Greg, which is really, really exciting. So we'll be launching that after Christmas on the RT Today show as well.
And it's a big commitment to you, but a big buzz. Good for the county to have one of her own down there doing so well. And you never shy getting the odd plug-in for your own area either.
I'll do it where I can. And,
I know
and
they're strict on it, but
they are quite strict, you know. And I mean, it's amazing since I started doing the television. You know, there's not a week has passed that there's hampers and foods arriving at my house. And, I don't work commercially. You know, at the end of the day, I'll use a product for the best reasons because I won't use some for the sake of using it. And RT have encouraged me, carry any show, carry Donegal, you know, carry that message. So if there's stories and produce that's out there that I'm not aware of, let me know and I'll be happy to use them.
I presume details for that too are on thenosaltchef.com.
Yep.
The food here is I can't obviously because I'm on air. It looks absolutely gorgeous. It's so fresh. This is this morning's.
It is. We've just baked all of that this morning, and Dahi has just attacked me on the way out there. So there's about three slices missing. There's only one to you, and Yvonne, who's a man in the phones, is also tucking in and enjoying hers.
I've just seen Tom Comeback sniffing around there as well. It'll be. There'll be no shortage of hungry mouths, Phil. I'm going to have some too when I get off air. TheNoSaltChef.com, the cooking methods and ingredients, a lot of that stuff you have in the house too, which is, you know...
These are store cupboard ingredients.
That's the future,
yeah.
I think, too. A lot of we had a guy, you know, we were discussing stuff during the weekend. It's stuff that you might have in your cupboard, and if not, it's very easy to get. But your stuff is always very accessible. As always, best of luck, Brian, with the TV stuff. You'll still
pleasure.
Come back and see us, I'm sure.
Of course I will.
We'll
Thank
be
you
back
very
with
much.
More after this break. Henry Girls still to come performing live for you before 12 o'clock. Sean McClafferty, Secretary of the County Donegal War Memorial Group. Good morning to you, Sean.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Very well. Sorry, a little late coming to you.
You're all right. You're fine.
So, apparently you've been inundated with requests from the public across the county, keen to find out about relatives who served at various Irish regiments during the 1914-1918 war. Is this is there a renewed interest, or is this an ongoing thing?
No, there definitely is, Greg, a renewed interest, I suppose, with the centenary of the start of the First World War. It's sort of kindled something in people's mind and imagination. And when we sort of started the First World War Memorial Committee, it was purely to get a memorial erected in the county to sort of acknowledge the 1,200 men and women from the county who were killed in the First World War. And from that, so many people, members of the public, have been contacting us, trying to find out about their relatives. They just had a name. They didn't know sort of which regiment they were in. So we've been trying, as well as trying to get a war memorial up, we've also been inundated with research for families who just wouldn't have a clue of where to go. So we've been successful in doing that, I think.
And do we have a lot of information? Do we have a lot of documentation, a lot of records?
Yeah, I mean, I was involved on the County Donegal Book of Honour Committee back in the year 2002, along with Paddy Hart and Liam Renane. I mean, we found out an awful lot of names at that stage. But I think it's putting sort of faces to names and stories behind names has been amazing. I mean, when you look at it, we've been looking at various towns and villages. Mm-hmm. I mean, Creasla, for example, had 11 men killed. Dunfanaghy, 23. Downings, 8 killed in action. And you know, small villages such as Carrigan's, 28. Buncrana, 30. You know, Dunlow, 16.
These are really big numbers in small communities.
Huge. Absolutely.
Mm.
That's the thing about it. The numbers, I mean, when you think about it, 91 men from Letterkenny killed between 1914 and 18, a huge amount. I mean, if you think about 91 young guys today, if they went off to fight in Sierra Leone, you know, and 91 of them never came back, I mean, there would be a public outcry.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
and what was the motivation for most of these people going to join this war?
That's a very good question. I mean, obviously the politics at the time. There was quite a lot. Some wanted to, you know, to fight for empire. Some wanted to fight for Irish nationalism. But you know what? What I'm looking at, a lot of them saw it as an adventure. They left Donegal in 1914. They thought they'd be home by Christmas. But
were they sold that adventure, Sean? Or like, did they know what they were getting into, or were they sold an adventure, or sold an opportunity? If you know what I'm saying.
Well, I do indeed. I think it's mixed. I think life in Donegal back in 1914 was quite mundane, and I think a lot of them saw an opportunity. Let's go to Europe, and you know, we'll be home by Christmas. And I mean, there's one family I'm looking at in Carrigart. His name is Dennis McGettigan. Now, he went off and fought with the Royal Enniskillen Fusiliers, a local Donegal regiment. He was 18 when he was killed. You know, a guy of 18 had no political agenda. He saw it as a way of just getting away, getting to see a bit of the world, and, you know, he'd be home by Christmas. Mm. And, you know, that's the sad thing
it's
about
it. It's so sad. It really is. How far on are we in terms of the erection of a permanent war memorial?
Well, things are going very well. I mean, we have a great deal of support from the public out there, and that was my first battle plan, that we would have the support of the people, public on the ground. We have that. We have a number of people now wanting to be on the committee and support the committee and help in practical terms. We are now at a stage where we're looking at offers of sites in and around the county, which is great to be in that position as well. Mm. But, you know, some sites just aren't suitable. So, I mean, there are people that have said that, you know, they would like to donate, you know, a little plot of land, that we can get a memorial up. So, basically, we want to hear from anybody that thinks they would like to help us in that way. We'd like to see it somewhere maybe around Letterkenny, I suppose, primarily because the largest bulk of those killed were from Letterkenny. Mm. And that would be...
I presume it has to be sort of somewhere, you know, where it can be monitored to ensure it's not interfered with, and there's a number of considerations there.
There is. And the fact is, you know, this isn't just going to be a static thing that's going to be just put up and forgotten about. We would intend that families could, at Remembrance time, Remembrance Sunday, could come around the memorial and have a practical, you know, interdenomination.
Because we're not talking 500 years ago. We're talking a few generations ago. So it's very real and almost, well, not literally now, of course, but it's granddads and great-granddads and stuff. So how can people get more information, Sean?
They can give me a call anytime, 085-806-8057. They can give me a ring. We can chat about it. And as I say, listen, we're always here to help. If people want some research done, we'd be delighted. It's great to receive calls from the public.
Because it also, I presume it also fleshes out the info you already have as well, so it's mutually beneficial.
It does. And you know what? It is mutually beneficial. And, you know, we're looking at so many people now. You know, Victoria Cross winners, one Victoria Cross, at least three distinguished service orders in the county, half a dozen military crosses. These are serious gallantry awards that were given to Donegal men. And, you know, if it was anywhere else, if this was in the south of England, Greg, there would be a war memorial up in every single town and village. You know, as I say, Remelton alone, 45 killed. I mean, huge number of people. Yeah. And, you know, when you look at Donegal men, they did go off in 1914. They gave their all, and I mean, they were decorated with the highest gallantry awards that the British Army could give out.
Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure to speak to you. I wish we had more time.
My
caller says briefly, there's a fine memorial in Castle Bar, which is very well done. It's a very peaceful place, and I presume that's you're familiar with that. Maybe that's someone trying to emulate and do something similar, if not better, here. Sean McClafferty, go ahead, sorry.
Thank you very much,
okay,
for your time.
God bless you, Sean. Take care. That's Sean McClafferty there. You're very welcome back to the weekend edition here in Highland Radio with Greg Hughes. Hope you're very well indeed. We've a lot to jam into the last 17 minutes of the programme. Hope you can stay with us. Coming up after 12 o'clock, of course, it's the P.L. McCann Show. As you would expect, a fantastic show lined up for you all ready. Now, thank you so much to all of you contacting the programme. 086-7700-555 is that text line, or you can call us 07491-25000. So many of you have been doing so. Some requests now for Jim and Mary Crawford and Buncrana. Happy birthday to you both from Cousin Kevin. Shane O'Donnell and Guido, happy birthday from Peter, May, Tara, Sean and Oren. Oren Malloy in Lettermack Award, 18 today. Enjoy tonight, says Mummy, Daddy, Tara and Sean. Martina McDade's listening in Kilmacrenan. She passed her driving test yesterday. That comes in from Tony Morning. Congratulations, Martina. Hope you have a enjoyable and safe time out on the roads. To my niece, Sinead Boyce in Carrigart, and Kenneth McCorkwell, getting married today. This comes in from Margaret and Willie, who are in Buncrana. Sadie Hunter, it's in Creaslop. Happy birthday to you. This comes in from Lee and also coming in from Belle. Right, Wayne Fest has kicked off across Donegal, and to discuss this, we're joined on the programme now by Karen Sheehy. Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you doing, Greg?
Very, very well indeed. Wayne Fest, for those who may not have heard of this, what is it?
Well, Wayne Fest is an annual arts and books festival. It's organised by Donegal County Council's Cultural Services Division. Each year, the library service, the museum and the regional cultural centre here in Donegal all get together, and we put on a week jam-packed full of authors, storytellers, inventors, scientists, musicians, artists and much, much more. This year, we have over 100 events happening throughout the county. We have Marita Conlon McKenna. She is the author of The Famine, The Children of the Famine trilogy. She'll be here in Central Library on Tuesday. We have Niall DeBurka. He's a fabulous storyteller. He's coming up from Dublin to tell stories to kids. And there's a huge array of different artists and storytellers and authors.
Now, there is an event already underway, a story party taking place in various areas across the county, I understand. So a lot of the work's already been done in organising this and getting people involved.
Yes, yes, there's a huge amount of work goes into it. Mostly the events that we organise would be for the schools. Each year we try to organise family events, which has taken the shape of the story parties this year. That is to celebrate Wayne Fest's 18th birthday. We're up and running 18 years now. So in Central Library and in Milford Library, Bundoran, Carndonagh and Buncrana Libraries right now, there are story parties happening. We're taking the story of Hansel and Gretel. We're telling the story to the children. We're having some games based on it and some activities as well. So it should be a good fun fall there.
Well, hopefully they have us on in the background. What is the motivation behind this? What is the, what would you like to see come from it?
Well, we would like to immerse children in the culture of Ireland and Donegal and Europe. We would like to introduce children to authors and storytellers that they would not ordinarily get the opportunity to see in person.
And that's true too, isn't it? Because there are more children reading. A lot of them would have been exposed to the likes of the Harry Potter books and many more besides. So if they have that interest, why not divert some of that interest into Irish culture, Irish writers and Irish stories?
Exactly, yeah. And there's a huge wealth of them out there. So there is. So yeah, we're pretty excited to have Marita Conlon McKenna now come on Tuesday. She's here in Central Library at 10 o'clock and 11:30, and she's fully booked. So she is, and we could fill her again for another day.
Well, that's positive, isn't it? And
it is.
Something going for 18 years, it's often hard to maintain the momentum, but this is continuing to be steady and grow.
Yeah, it's something that we're incredibly proud of in the Cultural Services Division. It's grown from its humble beginnings, and I think it was 1996. In the past, it's been celebrated over a two-week period. In the past 2 years, we've decided just to condense it into a week. It kind of has more impact. So,
and that was Karen Sheehy, staff officer at the Central Library in Letterkenny, who I spoke to a little earlier. Now, moving on the programme, joined on the line now by Bill Hughes, producer of A TD in My House. This has caught my attention big time. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Greg. How you doing?
Very well. Give us a brief concept of the show, Bill.
The concept of the show is that it will give the television viewing public a chance to see their local their TDs walking a mile in the shoes of people who are trying to survive on welfare. And in order to do that, because so many TDs can say that they understand the situation, but we want to graphically illustrate it. We want to see them encountering all the problems that the people do by sharing their experience for a week in their lives, seeing all the obstacles that they're up against. And so we're working with Thomas Pringle in Donegal South, and we're going to find a family. We need to find a family who would like to participate. Now, this is not Jeremy Kyle television. This is not Jerry Springer television. This is a proper, considered you know, hour of programming that will go out on TV3. Each TD, we're shooting four programs, and each TD we'll have an hour with them. So there'll be four 1 hours. And we're shooting it in Donegal South, in Limerick, in Dublin, and in Waterford City.
And would you not have really needed a government TD, though, to get the full impact? With all due respect...
We do. We have a government TD as well.
Oh, very good. Because you know what I'm saying? Someone like Deputy Pringle comes from a modest background. He's an independent and perhaps would be more aware
but
of...
His life experience is what spoke to us. His life experience as a man who emigrated and then came back and has made a life for himself... in his local area and understands, and particularly what we're looking for in the family that we're looking for in Donegal would be a family who or a household where, for example, the wage earner was self-employed, lost their job, and therefore is not entitled to benefits.
Yeah, and it'll be an interesting conversation in a real environment too, won't it?
And we want to be able to let them see how each other lives. We want the household to see how the TD lives and the TD to see how the household really lives, to understand the weekly budget, to understand the forms, the bureaucracy that they have to come up against, to understand what life is really like at the coalface. And we want the television audience to get something from it, that it's not just sensationalism, but that we're looking for real stories, honestly told, with real integrity. And, you know, Thomas, we've met him considerably to discuss this project, and he strikes us as a guy who really understands what the issues are. And so this is a chance in 1 hour to get these issues across, and so we need a family to participate who would be prepared to have Thomas come and sleep a couple of nights in their house and to come and live with them and understand them, and also that they would then get a look at all of what he has to do in his weekly life.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So the family's obviously from his constituency, ideally. How did they get in contact with
you? Get in contact with Siobhan, that's S-I-O-B-H-A-N, at mindthegapfilms.com. That's her email. Or they could go on the Mind the Gap Films Facebook page and contact us that way, and just let us know that they'd like to participate. And we'd like to interview a couple of families, choose a family, and there will be remuneration for the family that take part.
Brilliant. And it's going to be aired hopefully next year?
It'll be aired starting the first week of March on TV3.
Excellent.
It's already scheduled.
Fantastic.
So, and we want to shoot very shortly. So we urgently need any family, household in Donegal South constituency, in Thomas's constituency, who would like to participate and who would welcome him into their home to genuinely be able to air their problems and to show us the obstacles that are in their way of living these days. And particularly, as I said, a family who had been self-employed and who are now having to suffer the consequences of not having benefits.
Bill, thank you so much. I look forward to the programme, and I look forward to seeing a Donegal family involved in that, and Deputy Thomas Pringle as well. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Greg.
That's Bill Hughes there, who is producer of TD In My House. Now, Lorna, Karen and Jolene McLaughlin, collectively known as the Henry Girls, join us on the programme now. Hello and good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
We're very good.
Very busy too.
Yeah, we're very busy. We've had a busy year. We brought out our new album at the beginning of the year, and we've been, you know, touring and promoting that since. But yeah, it's been really busy, and we're up in Kildare tonight.
Yeah, tell us about that, because a big crowd expected there, isn't there?
Yeah, there's really only a few tickets left. So it's part of the Macklin Festival. It's the 25th year, actually, of the festival. So we're delighted to be playing at it. Actually, our first gig ever as a band was 15 years ago at the Macklin Festival. So it's a bit of an anniversary for us.
Bit of a circle.
Yeah, exactly.
And busy few months and beyond coming up for you. You're playing with Clannad, aren't you, on their Irish tour?
Yeah, we got an email asking us if we'd like to come and be the support act for Clannad on their Irish tour. So we were absolutely delighted. You know, we're fans for years, and so to get that opportunity is amazing. Five nights all around Ireland.
Brilliant. And then off to Germany?
That's right. This will be our third tour in Germany now, and we actually love playing over there. It's a really fantastic place to play, and we've got 17 nights over there in November.
And do you all get on, or is it a nightmare?
No, it's a nightmare. Oh, gee, you don't want to know.
Any particular one of you an absolute troublemaker? Or
no, it's the worst. Because
there's one thing, you know, playing a few gigs here and there, but, you know, going off on a tour, how do you get your own space? You know, you have to get on, don't you?
Well, I mean, to be honest, we get on really well, so it's no problem at all. But we do, you know, we have our moments, of course, but it's really, you know, these days with your kind of your iPhones and things like that, it's very easy to kind of pass the time in a
exactly
car journey.
The world's got an awful lot smaller, and there's an awful lot to do, more to do in a very limited space. So the big gigs tonight, there's a few tickets available, just remind us of that again. So I mean, it's going to be a while before people get a chance to see you live locally, so.
Actually, this is our first local gig, as in the show, for probably a couple of years, to be honest. So, we did our CD launch in Angrenan back in February, and we don't have any actual plans as such to play locally again. So, if you want to see us, come along tonight.
Yeah, well, it's about time. How could you squeeze it in? Because you were on national radio yesterday, and you say you've the CD launch, the Clannad gig coming up, and then that big tour. So, we really appreciate you sparing some time to come into us today. It's very much appreciated.
Oh, it's no problem. We're delighted, and we have little Tegan here as well.
I see Tegan. Daughter. Yes.
Yeah, she's here behind us. So.
Excellent. So, what are you going to play us out with?
We're just going to sing the song we wrote. It's called The Weather.
Oh, that's thank you so much for coming in. This is the Henry Girls. Don't forget, you can get to see them tonight. Just give us the venue one more time. Tonight is the...
It's McGrory's in Kildaff, and the number to call is 07493-79104 if you want to book tickets.
And this is just a sample of what you can enjoy. Take it away.
Thank you.
Endeavor just as long. together.